I think we need to give Dave and Carissa a really nice hand for all of this beautiful Christmas music. Not only today, but throughout this whole season. What a blessing they have been to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm glad that you are here. Merry Christmas. So this is our last Christmas service before Christmas coming up on Thursday. Hopefully you have a bulletin. Take it out. Let's kind of go through some things. So right after our morning worship service, about 11:15-ish, maybe 11:20. I know the bulletin says 11:30, but if we could get kicked off before that, that would be great, is our church family meeting. You're going to want to be here for that, to be able to just hear some things about our church. And this is open to everybody who would like to attend, whether you're a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church or whether you're fairly new. Doesn't really matter. We want you to stay and just be a part of this meeting for us. Don't forget our Daily Bread Christmas booklets are out on the information table. Next Sunday, we're going to be observing communion. There's information about that. Also on December 31st, hopefully you have that on your calendar. That is going to be our New Year's Eve party, our annual New Year's Eve party. We come together, we play a couple group games, we bring snacks, we bring beverages to be able to share, snacks and beverages to share. And so it's just a great time together. You can come and stay as long as you want. You can leave anytime that that you would like, but we want to encourage you to come and just enjoy this time with your church family. And that's going to start at 6:30 p.m. Lots of other things in the bulletin for you to be able to know. That's why it's important for you to be able to be here. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to praise the Lord. Are you?
Yes.
Because that's what it's all about. So let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me this morning? We're going to sing some fun Christmas songs today.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abide, veiled in flesh, the God had seen.
we continue. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen?
Amen.
Yes. Oh, we love celebrating Jesus. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore. For your sake. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what Christmas is. Thank you for what you did. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We adore you. Amen. As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, we're going to sing you a new song.
Within a manger, the Son of God arrived, the one who would be called Emmanuel. The promise was delivered to a virgin bride, the one who would be called Emmanuel. Your name is the highest, your name in the humble town of David, Savior born today, the one who would be called Emmanuel. Behold the host of heaven with holy roar proclaim, the one who would be called Emmanuel, the Messiah. Our God is with us now. Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Jesus, oh, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest.
Team. You know, when you think about it, he was holy forever in the past. He's holy forever in the present. And he will be holy forever in the future. And how long is forever? Forever. Exactly. Wow. That is really something. Well, you know what, kids? I got some good news and I got some bad news. The bad news is I know what you're going to be doing in children's church today, and I wish I was going to be going with you. The good news is you're going to have a great time in children's church. All right, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. You're not going to want to miss this, that's for sure. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we can celebrate all that you've done for us, all that you are. And Father, we have Christmas because of your love, because of your mercy, because of your compassion, and because of your grace. And Father, I just pray that as we hear your word this morning, Father, that it will speak to us. And Father, that we will leave here knowing really what the heart of Christmas is all about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to John. John in the New Testament, John chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I ran across this week while I was putting the final touches on this message this morning, because I've had this Heart of Christmas selected for quite some time, and I've been working on it bit by bit. And so when I was putting the final touches on it, actually, I think I put the final touches on it last week, because I've been a little bit farther ahead this week than sometimes normal. So that was really good. So I found some Christmas humor that really kind of tickled my funny bone. And hopefully it'll tickle yours too. You know, you're all groaning right now, right? Because my sense of humor is not the same as yours. And that's okay. So I'm just going to share just a few of them. So what does a grumpy sheep say at Christmas? Bah, humbug. Okay, all right. So where do snowmen keep their money? In a snowbank. Oh. So what did the peanut butter say to the grape on Christmas? 'Tis the season to be jelly. Okay, I really like this one. So you probably all hate it, but I really like this one. What do you call Santa Claus with unironed clothes? Kris Wrinkle. What did the gingerbread man put on his bed? A cookie sheet. All right, what did one gingerbread man say after all the others were eaten? It's hard to bake new friends. All right, okay, enough of that. For some people here this morning, Christmas is a joyous time. Their joy comes from the memories of wonderful Christmases at home with family and friends. For some people here this morning, Christmas is a difficult time. Their difficulty comes from the hurtful memories of a Christmas that did not live up to their expectations. Those memories bring anxiety and pain. They grew up in homes that offered little joyful Christmas memories. And I can relate to both of those scenarios. I can relate to those of you who came finding yourself in either one of those groups of people. And I'm here to tell you that both experiences are valid. And both experiences teach us something about the tremendous joy of celebrating Jesus coming to earth and the overwhelming love of God. Because Christmas, the enjoyment that we get out of Christmas, the heart that we can have at Christmas time, has nothing to do with the number of gifts received. It has everything to do with the greatest gift that was ever given. That was the gift of Jesus. So, as we've gone through this Christmas season up until today, we've been looking at the heart of Christmas. And we began right after Thanksgiving with the heart of Christmas begins with joy. And then we talked about the heart of Christmas involves joy. And then we talked about the fact that involves peace. And then we talked about the joy of Christmas. The heart of Christmas includes love. Today, we're going to get to the real heart of Christmas, because the heart of Christmas is Jesus. The meaning of Christmas is that there is a connection between God and mankind, made possible by God's grace through Jesus. And so there's some things that I want us to look at this morning in relation to that thought, that the meaning of Christmas is that there is a connection between God and mankind made possible by God's grace only through Jesus. So the first thing I want us to focus our attention on this morning is that God's heart is revealed by Jesus. Now all of us want to feel like we belong, like we are loved, like everything is okay, that we have peace, and all is well. Eventually, however, our longing meets the reality of the world. All around us is brokenness. There are wars, turmoil, increasing immorality, and wickedness. And this makes us feel like we are all alone. And there's a reason we often feel like we don't quite fit in. There is a reason it seems like there's a void within. And the reason is that this world is not our home. We are longing for something more, something spiritually rooted that goes beyond what this world can deliver. God's desire is for us to be alert to this fact. Now, there's a cost that we pay when we wake up from this kind of slumber, and that is the reality of the condition of the world around us and the need to let go of the temporary promises of the world for the eternal promises of God. You know, the world promises so much, but it delivers so little. And God promised us so much, and he delivered on every single one of those. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the message, the verses that we centered on was from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through about verse 14. Of all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And my focus was, how do we get to be in Christ? And remember, we get to be in Christ by believing in him for the promise of eternal life and believing in him as Savior. And so since God is the author of life, then there must be a script. And what better way to provide the script than for the Word to become flesh? Now that you've found in John chapter 1 in your Bibles, follow along. And I'm going to start reading. I'm going to focus on verse 14, but I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I know I just threw my sound guy for a loop, but that's okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The life was the light of men. I hope this Christmas, every time that you see the lights on a Christmas tree or on a wreath or lights strung up on houses, indoors or outdoors, that you are reminded that Jesus is the light of life. Not how pretty they are, not how well the ornaments reflect or the light reflects off of the ornaments or the other holiday decorations, but that Jesus is the light of life. Isn't that good? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not John the writer of this gospel, but John the Baptist. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Everyone who, what does it say in verse 7? Believe through who? Him. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But, I love that word, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to this earth. He left heaven. The Word that was in the beginning with God, the Word that is God, the Word that was with God, left that and came to this earth. And the Word became flesh. He took on humanity and dwelt among us. And this word dwelt is a wonderful word. It means tabernacled. He tabernacled himself with us. He brought to us not only an object to worship, but a place for us to worship. We worship where Jesus is. And when we believe in him as Savior, guess what? Through his Holy Spirit, he's everywhere that we are. Wow. We have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus could have arrived with an army of angels, furious flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. Instead, he came at the very instant of life, conceived in a virgin's womb, an embryo, dependent on the ones he came to save. Born into this world in the same manner that all of us has arrived with the cry of life. And this same infant would one day carry the weight of your sin in his body to Calvary's cross. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? From their sins. Wow. And how did that happen? It happened because Jesus one day carried the weight of your sin, the weight of my sin, the weight of the sin of the whole world in his body to Calvary's cross. Now, it was not the volume of sin that sent Jesus to the cross. Let me say that again. It was not the volume of sin that sent Jesus to the cross. It was the fact of sin. And until we come to believe in Jesus, we are put in a prison by the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and the presence of sin in our lives. But the moment that we believe in him as Savior, the moment that we believe in him for that promise of eternal life that is ours by our belief, we are free from the power of sin, Romans chapter 6. We are free from the penalty of sin, Romans chapter 8. And we will be free from the very presence of sin in our lives, Revelation chapter 22. Wow. Wow. So God sent us in the person of Jesus what we needed most. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for the debt of our sin to be satisfied. So God sent a Savior. Are you getting it? The heart of Christmas is Jesus. And God gave us the Savior because of his love for us. And this love of God is written about in a passage that is a bit of an unconventional Christmas narrative. The book of John gives us a new perspective of what took place in Bethlehem on that Christmas night. You're in John chapter 1. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3, just a couple pages over. John chapter 3. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. How long is forever? Forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The heart of Christmas is Jesus. It can't be anything other than that. Otherwise, then it's just a holiday. It's just the date on the calendar. But the heart of Christmas, folks, for you and I, for those of us who believe, is Jesus. And I hope that every single one of us in this room this morning can say that we believe. Here's the second thing I want us to look at this morning. Jesus left his home to show us the way home. Jesus left his home to show us the way home. Jesus gave up the splendors of heaven to walk the path of the sinful earth. Jesus laid aside his deity to put on humanity. He what? Dwelt with us. He did that so that there would be a way for us to someday be at home with God. What did Jesus say here in John chapter 3 and verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have you ever been lost? It's a scary feeling. I remember as I was growing up on several different occasions, I would lose my way. I would be going from my house or school or somewhere else and knew where I thought I knew where I was going, and I didn't really know where I was going. Sometimes as an adult, I think I know where I'm going, and sometimes I realize I really don't know where I'm going, and I'm lost, and I get shaken. I get uncomfortable. I get fearful. I get doubtful. I lose my confidence. It's a scary thing to be lost. There's a story about a sheep in New Zealand named Shrek. He was lost and evaded capture for 6 years. When he was finally discovered, he was almost unrecognizable as a sheep. The first thing his rescuer did was pin back his wool so he could see to walk. There was such an interest in Shrek's return that the owner kept him in a pen for weeks so reporters and television stations could broadcast the amazing return of the lost sheep. And then on live television, world champion shearer Peter Casserly shaved off 6 years of matted wool. And as the shearer worked, he laid Shrek on his side with a foot of wool as his bed. You know, Shrek's story is a lot like our story. For in Isaiah it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. But Jesus, his coming to earth and his sacrifice on the cross removed all of our sin and condemnation and reconciled us to God, brought us back from that lostness back to God. All because of God's love, his mercy, his compassion, and his grace. You see, when we believe in Jesus, we do not have to be concerned with being lost forever. When we believe in Jesus, we do not have to be concerned with being lost forever because we are given a new life that will last into eternity in our home, which is in heaven. Now, the Greek word for believe is pistuo, which means to be persuaded. We need to be persuaded. Not in the world's promises, but in the eternal promises that are kept by an eternal God who never changes, never goes back on his word because his word is truth. And when Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, guess what? That's an eternal promise. Will never be changed. Can never be broken. None of the promises that God has made will ever change. Will ever be broken. But I got to remind you that belief in Jesus is more than an intellectual exercise. Belief in Jesus is to be persuaded that our lives, because we believe in what Jesus has done for us, is transformed. And our words and our actions and thoughts now become controlled by God's Spirit. We don't live the same life that we used to. We've been born again. We've been born from above. And when that takes place, our lives are different. And how are we born from above? By believing. Simply believing in what Jesus has done for us. Our lives are changed. And someday, in our forever home, in God's presence, our bodies will be changed. And they will stay in that changed state forever and ever and ever. Now, don't ask me what they look like in heaven. I don't know. Can't tell you. Don't ask me what age we'll be in heaven because I don't know. I can't tell you. But I know one thing. We'll have new bodies. And the things that we used to be able to enjoy in the vim and vigor of our life, we'll be able to enjoy once again. Somebody was telling me just earlier this morning before breakfast that anymore when they get down on their knees, their legs cramp up. Didn't used to have that problem. Years ago, we could get down on our knees, those of us that are up there in age, right? And bounce right back up. Yeah, we don't bounce anymore. Okay? When we fall, we don't bounce anymore. We just kind of thud. Right? So remember, wherever you are, if you're older than 30, wherever you are, if you fall, it's a no fall zone. Because I don't want any of you going thud. Because you any older than that, you just don't bounce like you used to. Okay? But someday we're gonna be in heaven and things are going to be different. A good difference. a great difference. And it's going to stay that different forever and ever and ever. Because the heart of Christmas is Jesus. And Jesus left his home to be able to take us home. Here's the third thing I want us to look at this morning. Believing in Jesus brings us the promise of eternal life. Believing in Jesus brings us the promise of eternal life. I'm just going to throw out a few passages of God's word for you to be able to get this understanding. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. How do you have eternal life? Very good, class. Believing in him. Doesn't say working. Doesn't say following a list of rules that a church or spiritual leaders may put upon you. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say doing lots of acts of kindness. Because how would you know how many list of rules you need to follow in order to have eternal life? How many acts of kindness must you have to do to be able to know that you have eternal life? When you believe in Jesus and what he did for you as he went to the cross to be the payment of that debt of sin that you owed, you don't have to wonder anymore. Because it's not about what you've done. It's about believing in what he's done for you. Listen to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That you may have life. What kind of life? Eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. And this is the what? Promise that he made to us, which is what? Eternal life. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Jude, verse 21. I kind of toyed with the idea this morning of when we came to this verse in Jude, telling you to turn to Jude chapter 21 to see how many of you would do that. That would have been mean. Because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. So Jude, verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Believing in Jesus brings us the promise of eternal life. No matter how you cut it, no matter how you want to define it, no matter how you want to observe it, the heart of Christmas is Jesus. It doesn't get any clearer than that. What began in a simple stable led to death on the cross by the suffering Savior, capped off by the empty tomb, which leads all who believe to eternal life in our eternal home in God's presence. If you don't remember anything else this Christmas, remember this. The heart of Christmas is Jesus. Father, I'm so grateful that you've used these series of messages to be able to help us understand the heart of Christmas, and especially today's message. And hopefully we have a complete understanding that Christmas is Jesus. Father, give us a heart of Christmas. Give us a heart that leads us to adore, to come and worship Jesus. May it not just be songs we sing in a Christmas hymn, but Father, may that be the desire of our heart, because we are a people who've come to believe in what Jesus did for us on that cross. And because we believe, we've been given that promise of eternal life, that forever life in your presence in a place called heaven. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song, Joy to the World?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her.
there's one.